Would you join me in a spirit of prayer? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, lift us up. In Jesus, your Son, show us how to live for you and not for ourselves only. In the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. On those Sundays when we join our voices to recite the Apostles' Creed, and we speak the words, "I believe in the communion of saints," what are we saying? What do we mean? What do we believe? If there were Catholic kids in your neighborhood when you were growing up, you might have wondered about all the saints that they always seem to be engaged with. I mean, beyond St. Patrick's Day, of course, you might have heard them say that they were going to church because it was St. So-and-so's day. And when you ask your Protestant parents, "Who are all these saints and how come we don't have saints?" The answer you may have heard was, "Catholics have saints, we Protestants don't." And if you were led to believe that Protestants don't have saints, that wouldn't be entirely accurate. For instance, though the populations of both the country of Wales and that of Scotland are largely Protestant now, the Welsh cherish the example of Saint David, the 6th century priest of the Roman Church in Wales. And the Scots revere the Apostle Saint Andrew. I mean, they even named a town. They named a university. They named the first golf course after him. So we Protestants certainly revere figures, sainted figures of history. We just don't have as many or do it quite as much as our Catholic brothers and sisters. And there is a difference between a Protestant and a Roman Catholic approach to hagiology. Hagiology, that is having to do with saints. Now, I apologize in advance that what I'm about to say is a major oversimplification. But Catholics believe that people need access to sources of grace, such as through the participation in various church rituals. They need access to sources of grace in order to make themselves worthy of God's salvation. Now, naturally, sainted figures in history are a bountiful source of excess grace, so revering a saint is an effective way to build up one's spiritual credit. Now, it's a misconception to say that Catholics pray to saints, though. They don't pray to saints, they pray to the Holy Trinity through saints. And that's not that much different from when we ask people to pray for us. But we Protestants take a different approach to sainthood. First of all, we think of all the souls who have gone before us, those who are dear to us, as well as those who are generations far, far removed from us. We think of all of them as saints. Hebrews chapter 12 presents this wonderful image for us in describing all those dear departed souls. It says that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. All those having gone before us who strove to be faithful, old and young, powerful and humble, all of them we think of as saints. But we have yet another way that we think about saints, and we follow the lead of the Apostle Paul, who, when addressing the Christian communities in his letters, named the believers saints in nearly every church. Let me give you some examples. 2 Corinthians, the first verse of it, says, "With all the saints who are in all the province of Achaia." Romans chapter 1, verse 7. "To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints." First verse of Philippians. "To all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi." Colossians 1, verse 2. "To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae." First verse of Ephesians. "To the saints who are in Ephesus." Yes. Paul would probably even write to the saints who are in Rocky River. We are considered saints too. Now, if that makes you a little uneasy, that's not all bad. We should strive toward a greater degree of Christ-like conduct in our daily actions and thoughts. But our human nature assures us that we will fall short of that goal. In an online devotional earlier this week, a New Hampshire pastor named Emily Heath reflected on our challenge of aspiring to saintliness while living in the nitty-gritty of this world. I like the fact that for the day after his famous 500th anniversary, Pastor Heath began her blog by referencing Martin Luther. Listen to Pastor Heath's words. She wrote, "Martin Luther famously said that while we live, we are simultaneously saints and sinners. We are imperfect and messy, prone to doing all the wrong things, completely hapless. And yet, we are also the beloved children of God, trying every day to get it just a little bit more right." In other words, we are human beings who are alive. She goes on, "Protestants believe something else too," she says. "We believe that when we die, we join the communion of saints. Far from a club for people who live perfect lives or believe without doubt, sainthood is a state achieved not by works, but by dying in the hope of Christ's grace and love. That means that one day we will all be saints. For now, though, we are simply saints in training. Like any other learners, we will often get it wrong. We will stumble and cause pain. We will behave in decidedly unsaint-like ways. And yet, we will continue to move forward closer to sainthood with each breath. So we are saints, but not perfect ones. In this life, we are sort of saint-ish. Yes, we are already loved and accepted by God, but still God calls us to try to be better and to do better. And so perhaps we strive to model kindness and patience in the way we interact, not only with strangers, but with colleagues and friends, and even with our own family members. And maybe we try to be better and do better by exploring an attitude of thankfulness, discovering the joy that comes from being generous, and then loving that joy. Maybe we simply remind ourselves repeatedly to keep an eye out for signs that God is present in the activities of our everyday lives. Perhaps we try to do better at standing up for people who are being taken advantage of, whether by ingrained tradition or institutional policies or offensive behavior happening right before our eyes. And as you have done today, we may strive to do better at devoting ourselves to acknowledging and praising God in acts of worship, so that our daily lives are more likely to serve God's purposes and not just our own purposes. So just because we are only saint-ish in this life, by God's grace, we can have greater intentions for ourselves. And as for others, yeah, what about those who have preceded us in death? By faith, we know that God has perfected those who have gone before us. They are now saints in so great a cloud of witnesses. Our God of mercy and forgiveness has perfected them. Yes, even their quirks that once amused but then annoyed us. What they did to disappoint or betray or abandon or scar us. Or the divide that remained because of those important words that we meant to say but never did. All that has been healed, forgiven, perfected. God has perfected even what we cherished about those saints who are our beloved. I close again with words from Pastor Heath. She wrote, "There will come a day when every tear will be wiped away and fear will be no more. On that day, sainthood will be less joyless perfection and more a celebration of God's grace and goodness. Maybe for those of us who are on this side of sainthood," she closes. "Maybe for those of us who are on this side of sainthood, that means that today is a great day to start practicing joy." Amen.